Some visitors don't knock. They slip through the cracks in the night, whispering your name from the corners of empty rooms. For some, it's a passing chill or the flicker of a shadow. But for others, like Reverend Bill Bean, it's an all-out war for the soul. A man who's faced darkness in its purest form. An exorcist who's cast out forces that thrive on fear and a survivor of demonic assault turned spiritual warrior. Tonight, we open the door to the unseen and ask what happens when the guest that comes calling refuses to leave. Joining me on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline, our guest, Reverend Bill Bean. My guest this evening has been a longtime friend, somebody I lean on in times of trouble when we are seeking answers that go beyond our understanding. Bill has been there for me all the way through this and has helped out countless listeners through the years of this radio show and my other programs. I'm so delighted to have him back here tonight. He's here for us for the entire 2 hours. Tonight, we're going to lean more into the ghostly and demonic realm. And in the next hour, his strange experiences with multidimensional and alien beings. That's tonight on the Paranormal 360. Bill, thanks for being here again, buddy.
Well, it's my pleasure. It's always great to be on with you, and thank you for having me back.
All right, we are in spooky central, right? It is October. We're closing in on Halloween, very close here, and people are always fascinated at this time of year about the things that frighten us, and how much of it should we be frightened of, and how much of it is just kind of the way life exists, that there are many levels to spirituality, many levels of things that are around us. But I'm curious, from somebody who's been in the throes of battle, how often do you think hauntings are nothing more than just kind of grandma's ghost floating around the house, just looking to keep an eye on things, or grandpa's ghost trying to tell us where the safety deposit box key is?
You know, this is such a multifaceted thing, Dave. I've experienced it all. The only thing that I haven't seen in my life and or career is a person's head turn all the way around. But aside from that, I've seen and experienced pretty much everything you could think of. And I think it's a fine line. I think that all of us are in a measure of spiritual warfare on a daily basis. Most of us don't realize that. So there's so much going on around us. And if it's true that mankind only uses a small percentage of brain power or has, you know, a very limited perception of things, then perhaps there is a whole other world going on around us that we cannot perceive. And if that's the case, then I would say that we are immersed in the unknown on a regular basis. And how does it come to be that, you know, sometimes some of us have contact, and like you mentioned in the opening there, is it a ghost from a dearly departed loved one? Demons can also impersonate those spirits, as they're called familiar spirits. They could take the form and the shape and the likeness and the voice of our dearly departed loved ones. So it's a fine line in everything. But boy, I'll tell you, this is where discernment comes in. And for me, you know, obviously faith, but we are peeling. It's like peeling away layers of an onion. You have to just continuously peel. Now, I believe, and I can't prove this, but I absolutely believe that we all have a soul. And when our time comes to leave this earth, well, the soul does depart. However, I also believe that there is a life essence that each and every one of us has. And perhaps that life essence stays here on the earth, sort of like a timestamp or something, because it is a part of that person's energy. So in my opinion, Dave, all life operates on frequency and vibration. So if the frequencies and vibrations are manipulated in some way, then perhaps this is how paranormal supernatural phenomena can manifest.
So you do believe in disincarnate souls, just ghosts that are still around us that aren't evil in nature. They're just lost or coexisting.
I don't understand it, except to say that perhaps it is a part of our life essence that is left behind. You know, after the person, the soul departs the body, then perhaps this life essence does stay on the earth. And this could be what we experience as, you know, apparitions of our dearly departed loved ones or other types of entities.
All right. I wanted to kind of set that stage because I think it's important for people to know. We don't have to fear everything, but you do have to be very cautious. You can't just take this as a cavalier way of going out. When you start poking the hornet's nest, eventually you're going to get stung. And it happens more often than people believe. But I also think that there's a lot to be said with marketing and TV shows, movies, things like that. They want you to believe that there's a bugaboo waiting for you behind every corner, ready to insert itself and destroy your life. I know you said at the beginning here that we're always under some kind of spiritual warfare, under some kind of spiritual battle. Why do you think that is, though, that if we are so loved by our God and protected by him, why are we also so vulnerable? And I know the old saying of, well, we all have free will. Well, my free will is I don't want to be hurt or attacked by something evil.
Right. So, nobody wants that.
Yeah. Why am I not just getting the bell jar of protection put around me all the time?
Well, again, this is my opinion. Mm-hmm. I believe that when the devil, Hasatan, Satan, Belial, whatever you want to call him, some call him Lucifer, whatever, he held a very high place in heaven. And he was the choir director. So he was, you know, in high esteem. And some people are going to get mad when I say this, but it is true. If Yahweh is the creator of all things, well, then guess what? The devil was created by him as well. And he too is the son of God. And some people have issue with that. Well, I say pray and ask God for the truth. And if I'm saying the truth, which I believe I am. So he held this high place in heaven as the choir director. Then when the iniquity and the rebellion started, and again, Dave, this is such a deep rabbit hole. We could make a series of shows out of this, but trust me when I tell you, I have no reason to lie to you or anybody else. I have been in steadfast prayer and done scholarly-like studies over the years. So when I say something, I believe it to be true. Mm-hmm. So I believe that when the devil, which I believe he was the first created being, and then the Melchizedek, the high priest, a.k.a. Yahshua, a.k.a. Jesus, was created after that. And I believe that's why the devil rebelled, is because he felt passed over for the other one. He wanted the glory. He wanted to be the one, you know, that had all the accolades, and that wasn't the case. And so that started his rebellion, and I believe that Yahweh supplanted him and then evicted him from that role of choir director and reinstalled him in the role of adversary to mankind. And that's based on free will. So that this is a long-winded response to your question, but I believe that our world is compromised because of that. So when Yahweh took him out and cast him out with a third of the angels, the sons of God, the B'nai Elohim, when they were cast out and came down here to earth, they corrupted the earth. And so due to man's free will that God gave us when he created us, the adversary to mankind is right there to try and derail us at every turn. And this is why there is a constant battle. So God is still in control, but he very much allows this. And I believe that he allows it because of our free will.
All right, we have to take a break. When we come back, I do want to get a little bit deeper in this and push a little bit. Obviously, I have a Christian background I've spoken to you about, but there are questions that people like me suffer from and want to know answers. We'll cover that right after this. Reverend Bill Bean, our guest this evening for both hours. Up front, we're talking about ghosts in the demonic realm. Next hour, multidimensional beings and aliens. These are the intruders that just refuse to leave. These are the beings that seem to be around us all the time. And I was talking in the first segment a little bit about how is it that if we are so beloved that we are so easily corruptible, why is there not better protection around us? And the common answer is, well, we have free will. We have the will to choose what we want. I think where things come into conflict for so many people, Bill, is you have this one creator. If that is the belief system for the people listening, you have this one creator who is perfect, but yet he created something imperfect. He created this being that would then challenge his authority and challenge and show anger and strife and jealousy towards this mudblood version of God, right? This ethereal version mixed with human bloodline, which is what really seemed to to upset the devil. And because of that rebellion is why he and his followers were cast to earth to have dominion over us. Again, that just seems so counterintuitive that it's like saying, hey, I'm a father. I love my children, Bill. I love them. But to teach them a lesson, I'm going to put them in a room with the Tasmanian devil and, 14 hungry giant cats. And they have the free will to climb a ladder, get out of there. Some of them are going to think they're beautiful animals and they want to pet them and show respect, and they're going to get mauled and destroyed. You see what I'm saying? As a parent, I wouldn't put my children in a position that would make them vulnerable, especially not children. I got to be careful how I phrase this because it's going to come out wrong. I was going to say, especially the children you love. I mean, I love all my kids, but again, why put us in a position that we are so vulnerable and allow these things to affect and impact us if, in fact, there is this unbounded love that the Creator has for us?
Well, I do believe that He loves us. And I'll tell you, Dave, in my own personal story and testimony, as you know, He saved me. He saved me from utter destruction. And I was physically attacked by demonic entities between ages 5 and 12. And I've had levels of trauma that most people couldn't even fathom.
Right.
And so He saved me. There's no doubt about that. He not only saved me, then He transformed my life and then put a calling on my life to help other people who are suffering. So that is 100% the truth. And I thank Him and praise Him for it. So we see that He does have love for us. But
Bill,
on the other
real quickly, one second though. Isn't that akin to me being a firefighter, going and starting a fire at the house of a beautiful woman so that I can be the hero and go in and save her? That's what it feels like to me, is that why create the trauma that you then have to save somebody from if there isn't alternative motivation behind it?
And I don't pretend to know it all, so I'm just offering my opinions and best guesses on it. I would say that in my best guesstimate on this, that this, the earth where we are, is a place of preparedness. It is like a school of sorts, a learning. And so knowledge is power. Power perceived is power achieved. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So we should always thirst for knowledge. But at the same time, it comes down to faith as well. And even if you have a high level of faith, I could sit here all day long and tell you I have such a great high level of faith, which I do. That doesn't mean I'm perfect or my life is perfect. I have issues and challenges just like everybody else. But I feel the difference is, certainly in my own case, when we have that high level of faith, yes, the issues and challenges will come, but God will help us to meet them and overcome them. So this is a constant battle. It is a constant struggle. We'll never be perfect on this earth. We cannot achieve perfection here, but I do believe that when we do leave this earth, and if in fact we do go into Yahweh's heavenly kingdom, then we will have achieved perfection and ultimate peace there. But I believe that yes, there is one God, one Creator, but the title of God means Elohim, okay? And Elohim means gods. So Exodus 20, verse 3 says, you shall have no other gods before me, because I think there's other gods under him, and those are the Elohim under him. So he is the Most High Elohim. So he comes from the Elohim. Who are the Elohim? I don't know. People say, oh, the Anunnaki, they came from the sky. Well, obviously, yes, because heaven means skies. And so I, again, going back to what I said about the devil, I believe that, again, this goes so far back and it's so multifaceted and multi-layered that it is hard to comprehend some of these things. But I do ultimately believe that for whatever reasons, the devil has been given a measure of control here on this earth, and he is fulfilling his role as adversary to mankind to perfection in creating all these miseries and struggles and strifes and diseases and murders and all these other things, you know, that's taking place here on the earth.
So then I would think that in human form and in life, we are corruptible, obviously.
Yeah.
But if my soul elects to stay here using free will, and I refuse to take that next step for fear or want and desire to be around my family or my property, that soul, that spirit essence that's left behind, could be easily corruptible, because that I would think that the devil would have a much better chance at that soul at that point and taking advantage. Do you think that's why some people see grandma's soul and she's kindly and loving until she's not? Because that is the essence of her that's here, but it has been tainted by
manipulated.
Someone else.
Yeah, manipulated. Absolutely. Yeah, I agree with that 100%. That, and I'm going to share something with you that I don't talk about in interviews. For the last 5 or so years, I have been having these very vivid, I call them visitations, and it isn't a dream state. So if I lay down to go to sleep, and it doesn't happen all the time, it happens randomly, but I have these visits from my parents and other departed loved ones.
Right.
And Dave, just as we're talking right now, I mean, it is very real. The last one happened recently. And I can't control that. I don't know when that's going to happen, but I can tell you this, that the visits seem very real and there's a very real interaction taking place. And that includes angelic beings as well. And I'm thankful for that, because for many years prior to that, I used to have terrible nightmares about my mother. And it was always about her suffering in that house. I'd wake up in cold sweats and breathing heavy. And I asked God, please take that from me, because it was torturous to me. And he did. And now I have these pleasant interactions and I'm so thankful for that. So I agree with what you're saying there. And I know that there is so much more beyond our understanding and our comprehension of what we believe to be, you know, consciousness and life and existence. There's so much more to the story. So it is a very interesting and fascinating journey. And I've experienced things that I thought that I would never experience.
We've got just a minute left here, so I'll kind of set the stage as we go forward then. If we're concerned about our loved ones and their essence or something being left behind after, what would be the best advice we could give to our loved ones before we transition, before they transition, and once they've passed, what should we do in the immediacy of that? I know many of us collapse into grief and suffering, sorrow and heartache, but is there something we should do? Is it as simple as saying a prayer for the departed to help them cross over and find their way through the mist and through the darkness? We'll talk more with Reverend Bill Bean about that when we return and continue our journey trying to understand these visitations, these visitors and beings that are with us. How do we start to discern between something benign and something malevolent? We'll do that when we return to your home for the very best in Paranormal Talk Radio. This is the Paranormal 360. Reverend Bill Bean is our guest this evening and talking about a myriad of different discussions. A little bit later on in hour two, we'll go into the alien and multidimensional realm with Reverend Bean because he is not safe from that either. He's had experiences throughout his life and we'll discuss that. But I want to know, because so many people have this concern, Bill, then what do we do to protect our soul and the souls of the loved ones that we hold so dear at the time of passing? Is it as simple as praying for their soul the minute that they cross over so that we're safe and they're safe?
Yeah, I think the key to everything, Dave, is faith. And look, I'm not some kind of smiley face preacher that goes beating people over the head with the Bible and telling them they're going to hell if they don't believe this or that. That's not my approach at all. I'm real and authentic. It's all about being real and authentic. And so that's my advice to people is, please try and have a real and authentic relationship with God. Be steadfast and consistent in your faith, and therefore he will keep covering over you. You'll be under the blessings of Deuteronomy 28. And so, yes, I do pray for people when they pass. I ask God to please lift them up into his heavenly kingdom, and then they have achieved perfection. So I always pray that. And another thing that it might be worth noting is that, back to what I was just saying about the visitations. I had a very strange dream about 2 weeks ago. I was out in San Francisco. I had to help a family out there. I came back. The next morning, I had this dream about being a kid again and playing, you know, with my childhood friends. And one of my childhood friends, John Hart, I've known him since I was 7 years old, and he is having a rough time right now. He has been diagnosed with terminal stomach cancer, and he's not doing well. He has a great attitude, but I don't think he's going to be with us much longer. So I had this vivid dream about John and I and these other kids playing. So it was a couple of days later, I went to visit John, and I baptized him. I prayed over him. I baptized his fiance as well. And I said to John, I said, John, have you had any strange dreams lately? He says, Bill, I never remember my dreams, but I did have a dream a couple of days ago. He said, it was the most vivid thing. He said, I dreamt that we were kids again and we were playing together. The exact same dream, Dave. I can't explain that. And I don't know what that means either. It gives me chills right now to just think about it. It's amazing how God works and how consciousness works in that way, that there's some type of interconnection. And some people would call that psychic. Some people would call, I call it prophetic gifts of the spirit. But make no mistake, there is some type of connection that brings forth these types of things.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up, because I have so many people that feel this stirring of this awakening inside them of psychic development, something, and they're terrified of it. They're terrified that it means that they've somehow consorted with the devil to get these abilities, that there's something wrong with them. But I try to tell people these are gifts. They've been in the Bible. There's mention of this.
Prophetic,
these are gifts,
yes,
of discernment and prophecy.
Yes. Yes.
Why in the hands of Molary and Curly is it demonic, but in the hands of Reverend Bill Bean, it's heavenly insights?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, how can I say this? Especially in America,
mm-hmm,
it's become like a giant corporation. So there's marketing in every aspect, in every angle, and I think the devil's got the market cornered. So you'll have those in the religious, and whether that's, you know, these I call carnival barkers that you see on TV or whatever, they're the big preachers and they are hitting you over the head with the Bible and they're telling you, you're going to hell unless you do this or that. Meanwhile, they're doing everything under the sun, and that's okay. But these very same people will condemn people for having these types of experiences, but yet some will sit there and they'll go, I'm seeing right now a person with a broken leg, or you're depressed and you're, wait a minute now, you just condemned everybody to hell for these types of things, but you're sitting there like this and it's okay for you to do.
Right. That's where I think a lot of confusion comes in. So people that do feel an awakening should embrace it in the name of God, or embrace it in the name of their deity, so that it's something that they're allowing goodness to come through.
Correct.
That they're open for that. Because I do think that you also have to be open to discernment for the dark side. Protect
Absolutely.
Yourself, but you want to have that insight as to what it is that you're dealing with. I talk on the show, I've talked on my other program as well about putting this shield around you. You imagine this bubble that's around you. Protective, thin layered, but it is so strong that nothing negative is allowed to enter. Only love can enter. And you will send love out. And anybody that's sending negativity to you, it should be rebounded back to them with empathy and love and compassion, not anger, not hatred, not resentment, but that what you send back is a message of love to that being, to that human, to that energy for healing, as opposed to living in a place of fear. Is that a fair assessment? Is that a good way to try to do that?
Yeah. And it's about, so I mentioned earlier about frequency and vibration. So when you're doing something like that, you're keeping the frequency and vibration high. All life operates on frequency and vibration. Why do I say that? Because if the God of the universe and other universes, do you think he just created this place and us? Come on.
No.
wake up. And for anybody that thinks otherwise, he created multi-universes and different types of people and beings. I'm convinced of that. But anyway, it's all about keeping the frequency of vibration high, because if he spoke the world into existence through his voice, well, then that would be through the frequency and vibration of his voice. Therefore, all life operates on that principle and is of the utmost importance to keep your frequency and vibration on high. Now, for me, you mentioned about that white bubble. What I do is I envision four giant warrior angels surrounding me at all sides at all times. So where I go, they go. When I lay down to sleep, I see eight of them surrounding my bed as I sleep, and I have good and peaceful sleep, and I'm thankful for that. I've been in many life-threatening situations throughout my lifetime, and many as this spiritual warrior, and each and every time, I don't brag about this, I'm thankful. I thank God and praise God for sparing my life and for helping me out of those potentially disastrous situations that could have taken my life. And so I'm very, very thankful for that. But yes, you are on to something there. It is a fair assessment. I agree with it 100%. It's all about keeping the frequency and vibration on high.
So many people are falling prey to depression and anxiety, and a lot of it has to do with things that are out of their control. It's the foods that we eat, the things that we drink, things that are tearing us down from the inside out, and then we feel as though we're losing a battle to something darker. What in about a minute and a half here, what are some quick little ideas you could give people to start giving themselves a better barrier and a better blockade towards the negativity?
Well, my strongest suggestion would be to develop a real authentic relationship with God. Make him first. Keep him first. Your life won't become perfect, but it will become very good and very blessed. I have 10 steps to victory, 7 declarations, and 20 affirmations all on my website that you could go there and say those things and fill your spirit and fortify it, feed it, and that will raise your frequency and vibration. Secondly, I would say, start loving yourself, not in an arrogant way, but see the value in yourself and have the knowing that, A, God loves us and he wants us to have a good and blessed life, but we have to do our part as well. So just know that you are worthy and then implement that into your life and do things that are good and positive and fulfilling to your spirit.
We do have a link for Reverend Bill being on today's program guide for those of you listening to the podcast version. Go check that out. All right, we are back. Reverend Bill Bean on our show again. He just made some really interesting and fascinating insights, and he has a place that he shares those with you on his website. There's a link for it on today's program guide. So if you want that step, you have to go make that step. Again, this is part of the free will that we spoke about at the beginning of the show. You have to be in control of your life and do it. Now, understand, friends, please, there is no magic bullet. There is no magic elixir. And even through prayer and through accepting God and trying to have a healthy relationship with your creator, it doesn't happen overnight. You have to be diligent and work at it. You have to strengthen that muscle within yourself and that communication, right? It's like the original cell phones, man, they were bad connection. And then we kept upgrading and upgrading and upgrading. And you have to continue to do that as well, to the point where you're getting crystal clear reception. You're able to communicate with the creator, and the creator can communicate back with you, but you have to be there and willing to put that work in, and then shield yourself. A lot of this is imagination. A lot of this is creative visualization, but that helps to stem and root something in your system. It's not just a placebo effect. It's something that's lifting you and giving you focus.
Correct.
To be able to move forward. So with that in mind, God bless all that that have these issues in their life. But now when it comes to talking to the dead, to discerning, seeing your loved ones visit, you have them in dreams, I have them in dreams. We've both seen spirit in locations and around other people. So there is that. Is there something that people can see when they look at these elements that will allow them to discern whether what they're witnessing is true or something malevolent hiding?
Yeah, and that comes down to holy discernment. So the only way that you can have a strong discernment is by having a real and authentic relationship with God. And if you do that, then he will give you that level of discernment to know who is true, who is not, what is real, what is not, and what type of spirit that is. You know, is it really your long lost loved one coming for a visit, or is it a devil in disguise?
So many people right now, and I don't want to get into a political rant at all, but so many people are complaining about the way that we've lost our way in this country and in this world. It starts with you listening right now to take back your family, to take back your home, to take back your life. And in order to do that, you have to put the work into it. And it's going to be hard decisions. It's going to be tough, and it's going to be a battle. But the eventual outcome is that you are saving your soul and the souls of the people that you love and that are around you. Draw the line, put that delineation line in of what you will and will not accept in your life. And for those of you that continue to fold and let darkness in and let bad people in, you can't be surprised when that's all that continues to find its way into your soul and into your heart.
It's very true. It's absolutely true. In my own transformation, Dave, it was very difficult because, you know, I came from a fear-based, trauma-based way of thinking and living. And it's very, very difficult to break that. It's like an addiction. It's very difficult to break. Not impossible, but for me, you know, after all those tragedies had taken place, and as I'd mentioned earlier in the interview, I was physically attacked from demonic entities between ages 5 and 12. And I've seen things that most people, again, wouldn't want to have nightmares about. So I come from that high level of trauma, and it was difficult to break those patterns. And then furthermore, after, you know, my dad had left when I was 9 years old, and my mother and grandmother, who were the two closest people to me in my life at that time, they died a little more than 2 months apart from each other. So my world was destroyed from that alone. I didn't have any more desire to live. I grew up on the streets. I hung out with some really bad people, arch criminals, some. I had some good friends like John Hart, but I had some arch criminal friends as well. And I did drugs. I drank. I was violent. And most of those people are dead or in prison. And I could have been dead and or in prison myself. And so it was part of a will on my part to say, I don't want this life anymore. God, please help me. He knew I was sincere, but it was two steps forward and three steps backward until I got there. So it was very much a journey and a very difficult transformation process.
With the spirits that people encounter on a regular basis, whether it's at your local bakery, your church, your funeral home, or your home, should we engage the spirits that seem to be reaching through the veil to us? If they're seeking help, Bill, should we be there to offer them help? Or if we know that they're reaching out, trying to get our attention, is the best thing to do, just whatever religion and belief you ascribe to, pray to that creator, that energy can bless this soul and help them move on? Because, I mean, as a human, I don't know what other power or ability we have.
We don't. And so it all comes down to our faith and like you said, praying also for discernment. You know, is this really my long lost loved one or someone that's coming to me for some reason? Or is this an imposter? You know, is this a familiar spirit? And again, if God gives us that level of discernment, then we'll know that, and then we can take the appropriate action. So, for instance, let's say that I had a dream tonight about someone or whatever, and they're coming to me for something. And if I have that level of discernment, then I would know, you know, again, if this is truly that person or an imposter spirit. And if it were an imposter spirit, a demonic familiar spirit, then I would bind and rebuke and cast that out and off and away from me by the mighty power of God, you know, working through me to do so. So that's what I would do.
All right. Good tips and hints. And again, don't live in a place of fear, folks. It's easy to do that. We're hearing things thumping in the night and banging on the walls or, you know, rattling the hangers in your closet. If you give in to the fear, fear takes over. And what you need to do is address these things, ask for help from the other side, from your guardian angels, from God, from the angels, from whatever source you believe in to help these energies to leave. You know, I mentioned in the very beginning that I think that the souls that are most vulnerable are the ones that are out of the shell, that have made that decision to stay back and are confused or lost. So I don't call on my family spirits. I try not to. I let them know I miss them and love them, but I try not to call on them for that, for fear that I make their soul vulnerable. And I know there's only about 15, 20 seconds left in here. Am I being too cautious and pessimistic, or is that a safe way to go?
That's the right way to go. And for me, look, I don't ever call on, you know, my parents or all the loved ones that I've lost. Most of my family's gone, but they come to me. And it's the same thing with what we'll get into at a later, you know, time about the unidentified flying objects. I don't call on them or so. They come to me. And why is that? I have no idea. So yes, it is better to be safe and just allow these things to happen naturally.
Coming up next hour, we leave the haunted house behind and look to the skies, from spirits that claw at the living to beings that reach across galaxies and dimensions. Reverend Bill Bean says the line between demon and alien might not be as solid as we think. Are we dealing with visitors from beyond or invaders from elsewhere? Stay tuned. Hour two of the Paranormal 360 begins after this.